Hello, this is Dave Spiker, reminding you that June 30th, next Tuesday, marks the end of the financial year for Insight for Living. To give a much-needed financial gift, go to insightworld.org. The coronavirus has shattered the most basic assertions in life. Are we safe? Can I trust anyone? What does the future hold? These are critical questions. But according to Chuck Swindoll, it's not the pandemic that threatens our future. Instead, Chuck has cited three things that have fogged our perception of reality. First, there's a blurring of the lines between right and wrong. Second, there's an epidemic of biblical illiteracy. And we'll address the third one today on Insight for Living. If you missed any portion of yesterday's program, we'll begin with several minutes of helpful review.
I can't speak for some of you who are younger or even some older, but I can tell you the home in which I was raised, it was clear what was wrong. And it was made clear what would happen when you did what was wrong. Consequences would follow. Such wrong was verified in the pulpits of my earlier years. What was wrong with our times was stood for by many of those who operated their lives in Congress. What was wrong was stated openly even in some of the media of my early years. Clearly, there was a difference. There was a level of morality that was considered appropriate, and then there was a level where it moved to inappropriate, and the line was clearly marked. We are watching a move from a wholesome standard of morality to a wholesale and undiscerning emphasis on tolerance. Even in my own lifetime, I have witnessed three very troubling changes. The first of the three is this: the blurring of the line between right and wrong. The blurring of the line that separates truth from error. Why, we are in such a weird time, how dare anyone call anything wrong, huh? There's another change that's occurring these days that is troubling, and that is the growing ignorance of biblical knowledge. The growing ignorance of biblical knowledge. There was a time, even in my lifetime, when theological thinking and biblical understanding and doctrinal truth became our guide for living. If the scripture said it, and it therefore became truth for us at the time, then that was our guide. If scripture addressed it, that's where we started. If scripture stated it, that's what we believed. Politicians as well as educators quoted frequently from the scriptures. Prayer was a part of every classroom in my elementary school years. No one ever thought of it as being inappropriate. Presidents quoted from the Bible, its pastors stood and spoke in favor of Holy Scripture, and they took the Scriptures literally, and they taught the Scriptures forcefully. Pulpits were known for a strong doctrine and a commitment to biblical exposition. Now there's a famine in the land, writes the prophet Amos. A famine not for bread or a thirst for water, but for hearing the words of the Lord. Heartbreaking. Now churches are entertainment centers where people are made to feel good about themselves. People go away from the event with a smile on their faces, but a void in their lives. There's a third concern of mine. It's a change in our day. That is the intensifying embrace of postmodernism. The intensifying embrace of postmodernism. The result of this is that we have clearly shifted from a Christian era to a post-Christian era. Instead of life being interpreted honestly, it is now interpreted emotionally. Instead of the real being real, it is now distorted, and virtual reality has taken charge. And the younger generation prefers virtual reality. The reality bores them. We've changed our thinking based from objective instruction on the truth of Holy Scripture to the subjective, secular thinking based squarely on humanism, where self is always predominant. Need a good definition? Let's see if I can hammer one out for you for postmodernism. Perhaps a description would be better than a definition. Postmodernism thrives on chaos. It desires to destroy all moral criteria and replace it with no criteria. It seeks a world in which everything is relative, where there is no truth and perception alone is reality. Since God's eternal truth has no place in such a world, with the rise of postmodernism, we've witnessed a commensurate decline in biblical knowledge. What makes it especially interesting is the way it has evolved. Get this. Postmodernism began in the rarefied atmosphere of the academic literary community. It soon flowed into, from the erudite eggheads in academia to virtually everyone in any position of leadership. It has morphed from the halls of academia to the halls of Congress, to the halls of local public schools, to the halls and rooms of our private homes. We're now shot through with this philosophy of thinking. Make no mistake about it, it is both insidious and it is subtle. No big time announcement will ever be made in a company. We are now embracing postmodernism. It doesn't come in like that. It comes like a thief in the night. The greatest tragedy of all is that the evangelical church of the 21st century has capitulated. The evangelical church now, it seems, has begun to buy into this way of thinking. Francis Schaeffer told us it would happen back in his day. I quote from his words, "Here is the great evangelical disaster. The failure of the evangelical world to stand for truth as truth. There is only one word for this, namely accommodation. The evangelical church has accommodated to the world spirit of the age," unquote. So we need to clarify it further, and to do that, I've broken every homiletical rule and given you places for 10 things. Who ever remembers 10 things? Well, sons and daughters of Issachar, don't mind being given 10 guidelines. Let me help make you aware of what we're dealing with, and we'll knock them out one after another. Here we go. None of them is attractive. None of them will make you feel good. Number one, no authority is valid. No authority is valid. Who are you to tell me what to believe? So there's no respect for authority. No authority is valid. Number two, no rules are valid. So make up your own mind regarding whatever seems right or wrong, and then obey those things you feel are right for you. If it feels right, do it. Began in the 60s and has really taken its whole new shape in the 80s, 90s, and into the 21st century. No rules are valid. Three, style is more important than substance. Style is more important than substance. So image or appearance is what's real, not substance. As one of the former presidents said in one of his unguarded moments, what does character have to do with being the president? You think? Not to me, and if I don't think it's important, it isn't important. The man would say, style is more important than substance. Number four, morality is a matter of choice. It's okay if you want to live that way. I mean, it's okay for you. That's great. That's great. Wonderful. I even know parents that let the son and his live in the same house, under the same roof, back in the back bedroom. So if it's okay, if that's what they feel like they should do, give me a break. Number five, the cardinal virtue is tolerance. The cardinal virtue is tolerance. And here's the catch. So you must validate everyone's beliefs. Man, you can't be intolerant. Perhaps the most intolerant of all individuals who ever lived was the person of Jesus Christ. That's why they crucified him. The religious people hated him because he didn't tolerate their nonsense. At the same time, he was winsome. What a remarkable balance. Cardinal virtue is tolerance. Number six, words have no inherent meaning. Words have no inherent meaning. So true communication is impossible. I delivered this message earlier today in our first morning worship service. I had a scientist come to see me, come walk up front to talk to me. He said, I just want to thank you about what you said regarding words. My world is a world of words. Words carry weight or they carry nothing. I'm watching the significance of words fade. Evidence is based on words. Decisions based on the right words. Instruction to our children based on words. If they have no inherent meaning, they're the building block of communication, then nothing has inherent meaning. I feel to give you a wonderful quote. I want to go back and do that. Vaclav Havel made this statement. We live in the postmodern world where everything is possible and almost nothing is certain. Very true statement. Number seven, the Western culture is oppressive. Our Western culture is oppressive, which means logic is out and mysticism is in. Democracy is out and however you feel about it is in. Objective truth is out and spiritism is in. Who are we in the Western culture to think we have some kind of corner on what is right and best? Number eight, the line between truth and entertainment is removed. Between truth and entertainment. So guess what? Hollywood is as good a source of truth as the Bible. Quote, some celebrity, you got it, baby. There you have it. She said it. Man, look at her. She's a celebrity. The line between truth and entertainment is removed. Number nine, images and fantasy reflect reality. Images and fantasy now reflect reality. Look at the video games. Filled with images and fantasy. Filled with violence, that's reality. So why should we be surprised that kids load up rifles and walk through halls of high schools? They watch it all the time on their video games. Therefore, art has lost all meaning to the serious thinker. What serious thinker? Finally, what you believe is right. So do anything to achieve your goals. I know you can write that down quickly, but I hope you hear what I've just said. What you believe is right, so do anything you need to achieve your goal. You feel wronged? You've been oppressed? Kill your opponent. Wipe him out. Terrorism makes all the sense in the world. Who are they to tell us what to do? You can kidnap a missionary or bomb an embassy and sleep well that night. It's acceptable to retaliate any way you wish if you feel wronged, because what you believe is right. I return to where I was a few moments ago, and I'm through. Sons of Issachar, daughters of Issachar, may I urge you to begin with to cultivate discernment. It's how you're going to survive. Discernment will keep you from being deceived and duped and disillusioned. Discernment will tell you this is leading to a bad conclusion. I'm stopping that. I'm not going there. Our children aren't going to go there. Discernment will keep you from being deceived. Second, direction. That is, knowing what Israel ought to do. Remember the sons of Issachar? Direction will result in hard decisions. Make them first for yourself and then for your family. I said to Rizab again, we've come upon tough times. The tough news, it's even worse than that, is they're going to get a lot tougher, especially for people who determine to live upstream rather than floating down. But may I remind you that deception is on the loose. Unless you're aware of it, you'll be led right down that primrose path. Cynthia and I, in our last visit to Israel, spent a little more time than usual at the Yad Vashem Museum. If you ever go to Israel, don't miss the Yad Vashem Museum. It's the museum in honor of those who were killed in the Holocaust. It is a stark piece of architecture that stands into the gray skies. The building itself is drab gray on purpose. You will worm your way up and down long aisles where you will see life-size pictures of hollow-eyed individuals, not knowing exactly what was in front of them or where they were headed. When you get to the end of the museum, you go into the room of remembrance, and it is notebook after 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 notebook of shelves filled with the names, handwritten, names written by the Nazis of the Jews who were killed, as if they were proud to record every name. How could it be? How could that happen? They even have preserved the iron sign that hung over the entrance of Dachau. Work makes you free, it reads in German. But that wasn't the most eloquent thing I saw. By the way, it's the only museum I've ever seen with more exits than entrances. Most people can't go all the way through it. Some collapse. If you're not weeping by the end, you're not getting the message. It is heartrending. But what stood out was a statement made in one of the official documents that was passed around to all of those who were leading the camps. Listen to it. Quote, "The camp's law is that those going to their death should be deceived until the end." Deceived until the end. Let's bow our heads together. Serious words. So much to think about. I know you care. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be listening if you didn't care. But it is so easy to be swept along. When we started this church, I remember saying to a very few circle of friends, could we just have a church that's done right? And we have for these 10 and a half years slugged it out to do it right. Made mistakes? Of course we have. I'm telling you, we have fought for survival. We are on the minority among churches. We're not the only one. You know that. But we're one of them. I can't tell you how valuable your prayers are to Cynthia and me, to our elders, as we are determined to slug it out, whatever it takes. Now, what's more important is how you determine to live your life. I urge you to read less of the newspaper and the periodicals and read more of your Bible. I urge you to become a serious student of the Scriptures. Take them seriously. Teach them to your young. Read them as couples, as singles. Let the Scriptures be your guide. It'll do amazing things as it helps you live in a world that has lost its way. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, today you understand what you're dealing with. You don't have the kind of strength it takes to overcome this stuff. You're doing well to survive economically. So spiritually, what you need is power from within, and it starts with being cleansed. Christ does that for you. Right where you're sitting right now, you can trust Him. Release your will to His, take His gift in return. You'll begin a process of discernment and decision like you've never known before. Let us help you go there. Contact us. That's why we're here. Lord God, in this day and in this age, I pray that you will raise up sons and daughters of Issachar who understand their times and know what this country ought to do. May we not be weary in well-doing. May we not lose heart in the midst of feeling outnumbered and intimidated. May we understand that it is truth that sets us free. It is your love that holds us close, but it is truth that frees us. Keep us, our Father, in your will, walking in your Spirit, lest we be swept into the tide that leads to Antichrist. I ask this in the name of Christ, our Savior. All the sons and daughters of Issachar said. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. And as we conclude today's study in 1 John chapter 2, Chuck Swindoll would like to acknowledge Dr. Woodrow Kroll for providing helpful research on the 10 points for today's message. And please stay with us. You'll hear a closing comment from Chuck in just a moment. If you'd like to learn more about Chuck or this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Because of the constraints caused by COVID-19, we know that these are challenging times for most households. All of us are learning to accept a new rhythm in life that's not of our own choosing, but has certainly opened new doors of learning. Finding extra hours in our day has afforded opportunities to read more than usual. Along those lines, I'd like to suggest that you join us throughout this summertime study in 1 John. To guide you, we recommend that you secure a hardbound copy of Chuck Swindoll's commentary as well. We believe that when you dig deeper into 1 John, God will give you brand new insights that you can deploy, even in these trying times when the coronavirus has altered our normal routines. Chuck's refreshing and easy-to-understand commentary will shed light on the beauty, depth, and meaning of John's love letter. To purchase a hardbound copy of Swindoll's Living Insights New Testament Commentary on 1 John, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/offer. You'll be pleased to learn that this particular book contains commentary on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the book of Jude as well. Chuck?
For generations that follow, families will speak about the massive pandemic of the year 2020. We're living in historic times about which books will someday be written. Movies will be filmed, and songs will be composed and performed. At Insight for Living Ministries, we believe this accelerates our God-given mission to proclaim to the world that God is life, as we read in the letter of 1 John. Earlier this year,
as we began to hear reports that a virus was encircling our globe, Cynthia and I decided it was time to present a study in the timeless New Testament letter of 1 John. His radical message is countercultural because John unapologetically warned us about the destructive nature of sin. John, who was a close disciple of Jesus, also declared an unpopular truth that Jesus is the one and only solution for our sin. While we continue to have the freedom to broadcast these biblical principles on Insight for Living, you can rest assured that we will do so with passion and with integrity. Even though many oppose God's message, we refuse to filter or modify the truth in any way. And as long as we have supportive friends like you who come alongside us, we will forge ahead with boldness and confidence. Please, as God has been faithful to supply you with what you need, we ask that you follow His leading and give to Insight for Living as He directs you. We have a financial deadline that's hard and fast. It comes on June the 30th. And more than that, we feel the time is running short to tell the world about God's willingness to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So together, let's proclaim to the world the truth that was from the beginning, that God is life. And let's declare these things so that the world, in fact, all 195 countries of this world, may believe and someday share our joy. Dave?
All right, thanks, Chuck. Some are finding it quite convenient to give through the Insight for Living mobile app. Just tap the heart icon and follow the instructions. And to give by speaking to one of our friendly team members, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or you can also give online at insight.org. Listen Friday when Chuck Swindoll talks about dealing with deceivers, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Disturbing Realities of Our Times, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.